sometimes when people look at the liberal conservative divide or the maybe loose versus strict legalistic divide that exists in the church, they think that there's nothing in common between these different groups of people. John and I disagree. We think that both of these groups of people are actually what we would call despisers of grace. And we're going to explain to you what we mean today. So we're going to have a conversation about the law and the gospel and the grace of God and the path to knowing true freedom and rest in Jesus. Stay tuned. Hey guys, this is Justin. Maybe you know that you are forgiven because of Jesus Christ, but you're wondering, what does Jesus have to do with my Christian life? How is he involved in my sanctification even? Or is he concerned at all with the ways that I struggle and the way that my life goes up and down? Is there any comfort for me in Jesus when it comes to all of that? Well, I've written a book called More Than Forgiven, How Being in Christ Changes Everything, that deals with this topic from Romans chapter 6. You can find this book at theocast.org.
Welcome to Theocast, encouraging weary pilgrims to rest in Christ. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by having conversations about the Christian life from a Christocentric perspective, something like that. See, I'm trying to get clever there, Justin.
You tried to get very intelligent academic.
Hey,
dead giveaway that you're not in the academy, you're a local church pastor.
That's right. One of the things that you and I like to do is walk into the brains of all of us and pull off the clutter that got on top of the gospel, because that gospel is the power of God that we need to walk by faith, trusting in. And that's what this whole entire podcast is for. And that's how we can guarantee to help weary Christians, because the strength of the foundation is always Jesus. Your hosts are Justin Perdue, pastor of Covenant Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina. And I'm John Moffitt. I'm the pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And I'm going to go ahead and say this out of the gate. I am on cold medication. Therefore, I sound congested. And I might say things that I don't normally say because I'm on caffeine and cold medication. So I'm going to go ahead and just give myself some grace out of the get-go, Justin.
Yeah, so if John says anything that's heretical today, yeah, you can blame it on the sickness and the medication.
You can email NyQuil and or DayQuil, and they'll take your request. Hey, a couple of announcements. First of all, our conference is coming up very, very soon. And I believe maybe at this point there'll still be some registrations.
We'll see.
But we have an ad. We have an ad to it. We are adding a shirt, and I have it on right now. The front of the shirt says Theocast, but I actually have an extra shirt here. And the back of it, which is related to the conference, right? I'm going to try and cover it up here. Here we go. It says do versus done. It's very wrinkled. I apologize. I have it in my truck. But do versus done, law versus gospel. You can go to the website and see that. That's going to be our conference t-shirt. Now, some of you who are listening and not going to the conference are going to say, hey, that's an awesome shirt. I want that shirt. Well, guess what? I'm sure we can make it available. So stay tuned.
After the conference.
So. After the conference. That's right. I'm sure for double the price, so you have to pay $100 a shirt. So
exactly.
A lot of grace in this podcast. Yeah, sure, hey, Justin, Speaking of grace, there is a great book that's available. And if you haven't had an opportunity to read it yet, I would recommend it. I think it's right up there on par with our rest book as far as easeability of read and accessibility as far as size. It's not daunting. Justin Perdue just put out a book entitled More Than Forgiven. And that's really a definition of grace, because grace is, well, I don't want to give the book away. So you'll have to go learn more about it. But Justin, give them a 5 to 10 second overview of what the book is about.
Effectively, it's about union with Jesus and what that means for our Christian life. So I think that one of the biggest holes in our game in the broadly speaking evangelical church, we get justification pretty good, pretty right. Mm-hmm. But then I think Christ for the Christian life, not just for pardon, but for power, and the fact that we will be sanctified and are being sanctified in him and how he's with us in that, I think is often missed. And sanctification ends up being about my effort. And ultimately, it's about how well I do. And it's about my success or my failure rather than, no, the source of your sanctification is the same source of your justification. It's Jesus. And just trying to be clear on that from Romans chapter 6.
Amen. It's easy to give away. So you can go, and if you would like to learn more about that, go to theocast.org. You can, yeah, or go to Amazon. You can order them there. So both in paperback and Kindle. So pretty cool.
Good.
One last thing to talk about. Sometimes I remember when I first discovered this type of theology, I wanted to know, like, I had so many questions and I wanted to talk to other people who had the same questions. And I wanted to know if other people thought the way I thought. And thankfully we have put together a community of people.
It's called the Reform Pub. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, John.
Wow. Shout out to the Reform Pub. Man, I haven't been on there in years.
I have never been on it.
Every other post on there was a debate on baptism, man. Yeah, it was hilarious. Ahead, all right.
Sorry to derail your train.
It is not on Facebook. It is not the Reform Pub. It's called The Community. And there's over 2,000 people in there now. And man, I go in there just a couple times a week just to read what you guys are posting and prayer requests, questions. I know there are people getting together. Oh, by the way, Justin, I forgot to tell you this. We had somebody who met in there and are now married.
Look at God, bro. Yeah.
I kid you not. I just got an email about it. I was like, wow, this is not a promotion for singles, by the way.
This is not, I'm getting ready to say, this is not Christian Mingle.
Yeah. But you never know what the Lord will do. So might as well go join it and see what happens. So anyways, I just thought that was fascinating. Yeah. Very, very cool. All right, Justin, let's move on to our topic today. What was the title again? I forgot what we titled this.
Despisers of Grace.
Yeah. Yeah. Explain what you mean by that.
I will. Happy to. You're sick. I'm a little weary. And yeah. I was encouraged increasingly. The Lord gave us a lot of grace. Talking about not being a despiser of grace. The Lord gave us a lot of grace in our conversation leading up to recording. And so hopefully we're going to be able to say some helpful things, because I don't know that either one of us were feeling it today, just circumstantially. I say that just so that you out there understand that John and I are just like you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're frail and we struggle, and the Lord is good and he uses broken vessels. Mm-hmm. All right, so now back to our topic. Despisers of grace. What we're going to do is have a conversation about how there are people on both sides of the aisle or both ends of the spectrum, however you want to describe it, that are despisers of grace. There are people that are on the more liberal end, just to use a common word that we often use, that maybe are a little squishy as it pertains to the law, or they see a lot of things as permissible that many other Christians wouldn't think are. And it's just kind of like, you know, the things that I'm doing, yeah, maybe they're not the best, but like there's grace and all that. That kind of end is the more liberal end. And we're going to argue that people that are in that place are actually despisers of grace. And we're going to make that case. But then on the other end, on the other side of the aisle, on the other end of the spectrum, you have what might be called the more conservative, like strict, rigid, legalistic-ish kind of crowd. And we're going to argue that they too are despisers of grace. And then we're going to try to thread the needle with law and gospel clarity and emphasize the grace of God to sinners worthy of condemnation. Mm-hmm. And that's where we want to be. And so this is I hope we'll be clarifying, because we're going to speak in every direction, really. And we're not trying to be condescending or pejorative. We just want to be clear on this, because I think, and I'll say this at some point, I think that getting the law right and seeing ourselves rightly and agreeing with God about our sin, siding with him against it, of course, but agreeing with God about our sin is a big, big part of actually knowing freedom in Jesus. And so we're going to get there.
Statement. Yeah. Huge statement. Yeah. So I am currently preaching through 2 Peter. And this happens a lot on this podcast, where we end up talking or we relate things to what we're preaching about. Mm-hmm. 2 Peter, in my opinion, is one of the hardest chapters I've had to preach in a while, just because it's like 2 Peter 2, thank you. Yeah, 2 Peter 1 is great. It was awesome. 2 Peter 2 is rough because Peter now turns towards a very weary church that is exhausted, not only by the culture, because they're outside Rome. So they're getting pounded by the culture. Now Peter's like, look, and he starts it, false prophets will arise among you just as there were false teachers among Israel. And so he starts saying, look, the tactics of the enemy hasn't stopped. And in this particular section, he says that they are going to secretly bringing in destructive heresies. Now, Justin, when you and I think about heresies, we think about like maybe the Trinity or the gospel, nature of God, things like that. And so we don't think about heresies in the way in which Peter goes after it. And this is where this conversation started between me and you. Mm-hmm. Peter actually says that it's sensuality is the heresy, because he says mm-hmm. that many will have you follow their sensuality. And he calls their sensuality not only heresy, but blasphemy, which, Justin, it's so funny. I never really thought about it before, how Peter would describe sensuality as heresy. Well, it makes sense, because at its core, sensuality changes, one, God's word, but it changes the nature of God's creation, and it's a reflection of who he is, right? Mm-hmm. And the way I defined it, because I had children who were probably listening to this and children who were in my congregation, I said, listen, the definition of holiness and godliness in reflection of marriage and God-given beauty of marriage is that it's a man and a woman in covenant unity. That is the right and holy way that intimacy should only be experienced. And I mean that only. That's exactly how the Bible describes it. Man and woman in covenant of marriage, intimacy experience. The way the word sensuality would mean anything outside of that, married or not. So any type of intimacy outside of that, whether it's verbally, audibly, or physical touch, is considered sensuality. And when a Christian teacher or Christian stands up and says, in any way, shape, or form, that this is acceptable and that you should engage in it, Peter is saying, okay, that is heresy and it's blasphemy.
Right.
So real quick, blasphemy is to openly do an act that is of knowing rebellion against God.
Yeah. That would effectively defame and slander God's character.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. And then heresy would be then there to teach it. So you have
correct.
The teaching false and teaching. Acting of it. That's right.
Yeah. 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 I mean, brief word of clarification. I'm just going to say this so that we're not misunderstood. Even in talking about sensuality, I'm going to say something that I know you agree with first is it's very clear that in our culture, sensuality has been normalized.
Yeah.
And the church has not been unaffected by that, right? I mean, in other words, the church has been affected by that. We all have, and we need to acknowledge that and own that. And what we're not saying in talking about sensuality of all kinds, to be super clear, I mean, we're talking about heterosexual or homosexual. I mean, this is both and. This is not aiming at any particular crowd here.
He did not give a single example other than the word sensuality. That's right.
Correct. Exactly. So that's important. This is heterosexual relations outside of marriage. This is homosexual relations activity. It's all of the above.
Yep.
And so in talking about this and calling it what it is, we are not talking to people who agree with God about the sensuality being wrong, but yet struggle with it. That's not it. I mean, there's a different word for strugglers. So don't hear what we're not saying. What we're talking about right now are the people in the camp that would look at sensuality and be like, oh, guys, it's really not that big a deal.
Well, not only it's not a big deal, it's acceptable.
Exactly. And this is fine. You know, that's better. It's like, this is fine. Like, why, we don't want to be Pharisees. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to be legalists. And this is entirely okay.
That's right.
For people to act this way. Or people will co-opt grace, hijack the category of grace in order to call something that is wrong right, or to call something that is wrong okay. Mm-hmm. Whenever you say that if it's permissible or even good and God has said it's wrong, that is not grace that you're applying there.
No.
Grace is actually God's way of dealing with real wrong, not a way of calling something wrong right. That's really what we're getting at here.
Yeah, I mean, Peter, and we'll get towards this at the end, but Peter starts the foundation of this conversation on the grace of God and defining it. Yep. And therefore wants us to have the blessings of God's grace, all of them, right? And the one of the blessings of it is the freedom from slavery. Because in chapter 2, But in Peter chapter 2, he talks about how the very thing that controls you, you become the slave of. Mm-hmm. And we do know that sensuality has a massive controlling factor to it. Mm-hmm. And so he says, like a dog returns to its vomit. It's yeah. like, so if for those of you who have been cleansed and washed by Christ, our eyes have been opened. We've been pulled out of the domain of Satan. Satan uses sensuality. We know this. I mean, just read the Old Testament. How many Israelites did he absolutely trip up and destroy? I mean, I'm thinking of David right now.
Sure.
Using sensuality.
Sure.
And then, so Peter is saying, you've been set free from that. What's hard, Justin, is that because of, you know, when we think about false teachers entering into the church, I said this to my congregation, and this is just healthy for us to remember when we're thinking about the gospel and freedom and the joy that we have in Christ. Mm-hmm. False teachers had to go into the church back then because there was no other mechanism. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a broadcasting system. Now we have a broadcasting system to where heretical teaching can be come into your ears while you're in your home. Like you don't, mm-hmm. the false teacher doesn't have to go into the door of the church anymore. I use this as an illustration of my sermon, but the bishop who spoke at the inauguration very clearly proclaimed herself mm-hmm. to be a believer of Christ and yet was defending and calling for the acceptance of this very thing of sensuality. And you know, she was more specifically talking about the LGBTQ plus crowd. But Peter is saying anything. If she was promoting, you know, intimacy before marriage, I would be saying the same thing. Like this is not acceptable. Also, in our media, you have people who are, you know, claim to be Christians. I use Taylor Swift as an example. She wrote an entire song about basically telling everybody you need to calm down and we need to be accepting of these people who are in this position. And we have young men and young women or even older who are listening to her music. And we as believers should be able to hear this and go, oh, wait, actually, that's heresy. That's actually blasphemy. And that's, you know, our culture, I'll just say this last thing here, Justin, and we can pivot. Our culture Satan has done a really good job of helping us or softening our hearts, saying, well, that's not very accepting and loving. That's not very kind. Right. And I just want to step in here and say, listen, I think it's true that Christians have been judgmental at times.
For sure.
Right? Yeah. And been mean. But to say, listen, God is very clear that there is only one way that he wants us to engage in this particular idea of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And anything outside of that is a violation of his law, is not unloving or unkind. Now, how you say it can be unloving or unkind. But Justin, we are warned. Peter warns us in the first book, if you stand up for righteousness, they are going to hate you. So I have had people when I'm saying, actually, you know, and I don't even say homosexuality anymore. I say anything outside of this defining of what God defines is not acceptable. And people are going to call you all kinds of names for it. So there comes a moment where you have to understand that the world by and large doesn't love Jesus or his law.
Sure. I mean, Christians loving other people is a command of God. And what Christian love looks like is mercy and compassion for fellow strugglers.
That's right.
In that fellow struggler definition, and even in compassion, of course, even towards our neighbors who are not struggling against sin in the flesh. Of course, compassionate, but we stand for the truth, you know, and really the self-evident good of God's law, right? That this is how God has made the world, and this is the law that he's given us, and this is what is good for us, and this is what honors him. And so we are unapologetic about that, and we're compassionate in the way we speak, and in particular towards other strugglers, toward people who acknowledge what God says is right and good, yet what my flesh craves is wicked. There is mercy and compassion all day. And that's where I think Christians sometimes have not always been on it. We've kind of missed that.
But then
the devil does, like you said, man, he manipulates to where it's like, well, we need to be in the name of love and mercy and compassion. We just celebrate everything as good. And that's not actually appropriate.
No, my encouragement to you is go read 2 Peter. I'm only going to read you a portion of a verse because he leads off on it. This is where the law of God comes in, and the law has to be held at its full capacity because he says this, for if God did not spare, and he goes through the angels who fell, Sodom and Gomorrah. No, he goes through this whole example. And Peter's point was, listen, if someone comes in and teaches you that you can live in sensuality in the face of God and it's acceptable, Look at what God did to those people who tried to do that. And so it's a good reminder that the law is there to remind us of how different our heart and mind is to God's. And we always have to let God tell us what is right. We don't let the world tell us what is right, ever.
And when we pursue our cravings and passions, it ends in judgment, rightly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we need mercy and grace. And so let me, before we pivot to the other side here, kind of concluding thought. If you're out there and you're listening to us and we're talking about the crowd that would be, that would want to affirm and celebrate just kind of anything and in the name of love and mercy and compassion, guys, this is fine. You know, what are we worked up over? We don't want to be legalistic, strict, heavy-handed Pharisees. Mm-hmm. You might be asking, well, how would that kind of person be a despiser of grace? Well, they are a despiser of grace because they actually don't think they need grace.
They need that. That's right.
They don't think they need grace in order to be reconciled to God. They don't think that they need grace in order to be able to be in God's presence and enjoy Him forever and to be known by Him and loved by Him in such a way that they would be able to just be and enjoy and flourish and all of those things in God's benevolent presence. It's like, no, you think that you're fine the way that you are actually, and that you don't need grace for that. And so that's how you're a despiser of grace, even though you might talk about love and mercy and compassion all the time, or even talk about grace all the time. You actually despise it and don't think you need it.
If you're new to Theocast, you may not have heard of this word. It's called pietism. Have you ever felt like the Christian life is a heavy burden versus rest and joy? That you wake up worrying about how well you're going to perform instead of thinking about what Christ has done for you? It's dread versus joy, really. That's pietism. Pietism causes Christians to look in on themselves and find their hope, not in what Christ has done, but what they're doing. And we have a little book for you. It's free. We want you to download it. And we're going to explain the difference between pietism and what we call confessionalism. Reformed theology, really. How it is that we walk by faith, seeing the joy of Christ. And when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, what does that look like? You can download it at our website. Just go to theocast.org.
The other side of this conversation is maybe the more obvious one in some ways, but I think there's more layers to it. And we're going to get back to that category of freedom and being free from bondage. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking like John chapter 8 kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
So this side is the side that like serious Christians, disciplined, orderly lives would absolutely talk about the law and agree that all of these things, you know, thou shalt not, amen. And look at all these people that are doing all these things. And, you know, man, it's tough to be a Christian and living in a world full of debauchery. Yeah. And it's tough to be around people that just have no regard for God and His law. That kind of posture is what we're talking about here. Yep. And how is this person a despiser of grace? It's like, well, I'll get us going here. I think that at the most basic level, individuals who are like that are demonstrating that they have not really fully understood the holiness of God and all of the depth of the requirements of His law. The fact that it is not just about the obvious external conformity, but it actually penetrates to the level of the mind and the heart, the will, the desire. And there is so much there in all of us that is striving against the law. I'm talking about our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not an acknowledgement often that, man, this is an ongoing struggle and battle, and I am in need of grace all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That is lost sight of. And so grace is despised, even by people that claim to agree with God regarding the law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is, you know, we would say both views, you may have already said this, apologize, so this might be my medication.
That's fine.
I'm trying to track everything you're saying. But both views have a low view of the law, because one is lowering the requirements of the law.
Yeah.
And then one is lowering the I would say, the, like in the legalistic side, we're lowering the requirements of the law in that it's required perfection, right? So you have one
you
who
don't
says
see it, that it requires perfection at the spiritual level, right?
Thank you. Yeah, you have one that says it doesn't exist, like that law doesn't exactly. exist, and then this one right. over here doesn't require perfection, therefore right. I can achieve it.
Right,
it's relative in nature,
for
and,
sure.
And that's where, you know, I think this is probably where we spend most of our time here in our ministry is helping, because most of the people listen to this aren't necessarily liberals. They're conservatives trying to figure out how do I come out of pietism and legalism?
Yeah.
And this resonated with me. I almost did despise grace because I felt like people were abusing it. And I felt justified in my judgmentalism because sure. I've kept my life together, and whatever laws I had created that were often outside of scripture, I didn't do certain things that I thought, like, you know, I can remember when I would judge people for what they would watch or, you know, what they would spend their sure. money. I mean, I had a list of things that I was like, I knew that I was a better Christian than they were. And, I could tell you it was pretty hard for my wife to be married to me at that time. We were just married, and dude, I was a grade A plus legalist, and I was good at it. You know, I was a good legalist. And when we came up with the title of Despisers of Grace, I didn't like talking about grace because I felt like, you know, people really needed to live a holy life. They needed to take serious their faith. And, you know, we don't need to preach more of the gospel. The gospel is how you get saved. Mm-hmm. You know, now that you're saved, you need to live a holy. So there's, and this is true in the Calvinistic world, man. You know, we've done podcasts on this in the past, but it's like, there's an emphasis that we've always got to be preaching on holiness, as if preaching more and more on holiness will create more holiness. Now, listen, that being said, on the first side of this episode, I think it's necessary to make sure that we're clarifying for Christians. Hey, don't fall in the trap of liberalism. Don't fall in the trap of like accepting sin.
Agree with the evil one.
Exactly.
Agree with God. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
But at the same time, don't stand up on a platform built of your own righteousness, assuming that you're acceptable before God because of what you have and haven't done.
Right.
Both are wrong. To accept the sin of another and to accept your righteousness are both equally wrong.
That's exactly right. That's good. So I don't want to get too like detailed in this. Mm-hmm. I would highly commend a book called The Hammer of God by Bo Geertz. It's a collection of three short novels, and bound in one volume. The first of those three novellas is called The Hammer of God, and it beautifully depicts some of the things that we're talking about. I will just leave that to the listener, because I don't want to summarize it for you and take the next 10 minutes, even though that would be fun. But I think that really at the root issue here on this side of the conversation is there's a way that people who, like you just said, are all about holiness and serious discipleship and sincere, rigorous Christianity, and kind of look around. They're disenchanted with the church because the American church has been fluffy for too long. It's seeker sensitive. It's attractional. It's all this. We need serious discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look around and you survey other people, it's like, yeah, nobody's zealous enough for Jesus, you know, because if they were zealous for Christ, their life would look like this. And so you think that the antidote for what ails us is, we need to get serious about obedience and holiness and disciplines and rigor. And that's what's going to really do the trick. Because really our problem has been a lack of zeal and a lack of sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening, I think, for people like that is you get very, very intense about particular things. And oftentimes you have your own hobby horse issues. That's fine. But it might be about, you know, the way that you dress or the way that you talk or the kind of media you consume, or it might be the way that you arrange your personal disciplines, or it might be, you know, how you school your children or how you do family worship or what. I mean, we could go on down the list, right? There are certain things that become the emphasis for you, and what you lose sight of, with the best of intentions, you lose sight of the fact that there is so much that goes on at the level of your heart and mind. And you lose sight of the fact that you are a sinner saint who is in an irreconcilable war between your spirit and your flesh. Mm-hmm. And that even as you are lambasting other professing believers for their poor conduct and lack of obedience, you're blind to the fact that in your own heart and from your own flesh, there come a million things that are contrary to God's law that do not honor him. And then I think it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to awaken us to the reality of our own condition, but to the poverty of our own condition. What I don't mean that we should walk around feeling terrible about ourselves all the time. Please don't hear me say that. I'm not saying that everybody out there is a piece of crap. I guess I can say that on this podcast, that like you should just go around feeling terrible all the time. And it's like, it's a miracle that God loves me and I should feel really almost guilty that he does. Yeah. That's not what we're saying, but you should have an accurate assessment of yourself to say, you know what? As I'm speaking to these people over here about how they use their words, I need to reflect on how I've used my words this week. Or when I get on these people over here because they don't take the word of God seriously enough, I should think about how do I handle and think about the word of God in my life? And we could go on. Or when we're thinking about how sinful these people are over here, we need to be thinking, my gosh, though, there is so much sin that lies within my flesh that I am a debtor to grace and mercy every moment. And I am a sinner who on my own, I'm worthy of condemnation. And I live every day now by the grace of my Savior. You know, and I sit as it, in the book, it even uses this phrase, it's like we sit like birds in the Redeemer's hand and eat from it, you know, and then by his grace, we get to sing songs in the sunshine and we find mercy for our souls at the fountain of redemption. You know, this is how we should live. And so this is what it is to not be a despiser of grace, but to acknowledge every day that in every moment, I'm going to agree with God about my sin. I'm going to side with God against it. And I am going to joyfully proclaim that I am a sinner who lives by the grace of my God, who loves me and gave himself for me. That is what it is to not despise grace, but to know yourself to be a debtor of it. And you are a herald then of grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It's a better way.
Yeah, the Paul talks about it living in the freedom of Christ. For instance, so a lot of the things that you described aren't wrong. As a matter of fact, we would encourage them to read and pray 100%. And family worship, right?
Yeah,
but
that wasn't the point. Yeah,
no, it wasn't the point. But people will hear that and say, "I can't believe you guys are antinomian." Listen, it's all a matter of perspective,
how you view it.
That's right. So, if you are walking by faith, the question is, what is your faith in? You have two options. Paul's very clear about this. You're putting your faith in the sufficiency of Christ's righteousness for you. Mm-hmm. Therefore, out of that faith, you're going to then obey. And you're going to do things that reflect that, or you're putting your faith in your own righteousness. And therefore, you may end up doing the same actions. But your heart is going to quickly be turned, because all of a sudden, when you walk by faith, trusting in the righteousness of Christ, man, you have no right or reason to ever judge another brother. It's I am here purely because of God's affection and love. I recently got an opportunity to go to a yacht club private island. It's like a 2-mile wide island. I know, it's crazy. Yeah. And, you know, we're driving around in these golf carts and people don't know who I am. And so they just kind of assume that I'm either, you know, one of the wealthy people, multimillionaires that live on this island. So the workers don't know. And when they finally meet me, I'm just like, look, I'm a guest here. And I'm just, you know, I'm just visiting as a guest. But when I was there, I had free rights to everything that was there. Like everything. I literally got to live as if I was an owner of the island. It was crazy. And it made me think about, like, that's how you live in this world. Like, first of all, I don't really belong in this world, but the grace that I receive, like the joy, I get all the benefits. I get to live as if I'm the owner of it. Why? Because Jesus gave it to me. And so that's the difference of having faith in the grace that's been given to me, where I'm like, man, I get all the benefits of God's grace, which means it's the constant love, constant affection, constant contact with him. His mercy is ever new upon me. Therefore, out of that, I'm going to refrain. And I'm not going to get pulled into sensuality. That's ridiculous. That's the opposite of what I was saved from. And I'm not going to judge other people, because who am I to judge? I am who they are. Right. So that's why it's important on either side of the law. We don't want to despise grace, because grace is what empowers us to say no to sensuality and to refrain from turning into a legalist.
Amen. My last thought is that getting this right, and when people hear me say getting this right, it's not about being right or wrong. It's about seeing Jesus and seeing the depth of the gospel and seeing the grace of God. And to not be a despiser of grace is the path to freedom. Mm-hmm. And in that being set free piece, man, such a big component of freedom in Jesus is seeing the poverty of our own condition. I know I've kind of said this a couple of times, I just want to drive this home. So I'm thinking about John 8, the famous words of Jesus. You know, the Jews are appealing to Abraham as their father, which Jesus is going to bat down later by saying, you keep appealing to Abraham. Abraham rejoiced to see me. It's a wonderful word. But then they say that we're children of Abraham. We're sons of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Mm-hmm. And then Jesus says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And then he says a verse or two later that what you need is to be set free by the Son.
Right.
And if the Son of God himself, like if he sets you free, you'll be really free. Mm-hmm. You'll be free indeed. Mm-hmm. And I think a component of that freedom is to acknowledge, in light of our conversation today, on the one hand, if you're the kind of person that tends to want to condone or celebrate sin and just kind of give it a pass, mm-hmm. then your path to freedom looks like acknowledging sin to be sin, mm-hmm. you know, so that because you are actually, by celebrating and condoning something that is sinful, you're just only living in bondage to it when the Lord actually came to set you free from it. Mm-hmm. So call it what it is. Cast yourself into the arms of Jesus, you know, for your forgiveness and your righteousness and your eternal life. On the other side of the equation, freedom for you looks like acknowledging the depth of your own corruption and to say, you know, this isn't actually something that I can achieve in my own effort. This isn't an exercise in self-reliance. This isn't an exercise in me doing the right things and disciplining myself enough to be a true Christian. It's actually to say, like, if you've got that framework of like being a true Christian is something that you accomplish, you just need to let go of that right now. Mm-hmm. And just acknowledge that you have failed in being a true Christian, as you call it, and cast yourself into the arms of Christ and acknowledge the depth of your own struggle. Mm. This is the path to freedom, and this is the path to rest. And it sounds counterintuitive that to admit the bondage that I'm in over here in terms of the enslaving power of sin, or to admit the bondage that I'm in over here, meaning that I have fallen into this trap and prison of self-reliance, thinking that I can do it. Brother, sister, you're free of that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. And understand that the gospel message is basically like a pardon letter for criminals. I mean, we're, you know, it's like you're walking around the prison and there's this letter of pardon for every one of us. I mean, this is the good news in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like, it's what freedom looks like. Mm-hmm. It's what joy looks like.
That's right.
That all is well, and we've been reconciled to God, and we're going to be with him forever. And mm-hmm. so anyway, my encouragement to everybody out there is just agree with God about your sin, side with him against it, and then cast yourself into the arms of Jesus Christ, and you're safe.
Amen.
Yeah.
Good word. Well, I was encouraged. Hopefully you're encouraged. Some of you would probably like to ask questions or converse about this. So come join us in the community and go to theocast.org, learn more about that. And it's a great reminder, Justin. We can fall off on either side, and we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Rest and grace comes when we believe God and we believe about him rightly. And so we want to do that. We don't want to be tempted by Satan, and we don't want to be tempted by our legalism, which is also, I think, Satan.
Yeah, it's a tool of the evil one, too.
Yeah, all lies. He's the father of all lies. Hey, so thankful for your guys' continued support and listening. And we get emails every week of how encouraged you are, and we're encouraged to get them. And we just thank you for your prayers and for sharing the ministry. And we'll, Lord willing, see you guys next week. Hey guys, real quick, some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community, and we're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect, with other like-minded believers. All of our resources are there. Past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there. And you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.